Good morning, brothers and sisters. I would like to thank God for the opportunity that we have once again to stand before you and to share with you God's Word. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to open it with me in 2 Samuel chapter 11, chapter 12, 2 Samuel. We are going to do two readings. The first one is 2 Samuel 12, and the second is in Psalm 51. Though we have very little time, but I think it's good we read. So the Lord sent, he said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one small ewe of ewe lamb that he had bought. It lived and grew up with him and his children. It shared his meager food and drank from his cup. It slept in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man could not bring himself to take one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for his guests. David was infuriated with the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. Because he has done this thing and showed no pity, he must pay four lambs for that lamb.' Nathan replied to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says: I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wife into your arms, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that was not enough, I would have given you even more. Why then have you despised the command of the Lord by doing what I consider evil? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife as your own wife. You murdered him with the Ammonite sword. Now, therefore, the sword will never leave your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife.'" Let's turn to Psalm 51. "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion, wash away my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, so you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." Hallelujah. Some of us may be familiar with this text. It's about David, the sin he committed when he found himself at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he decided to take one of his military men's wife simply because of lust. The sin of lust turned into the sin of murder, and it went on and on until, in the end, after the mourning, he decided to take his military man's wife as his own. Obviously, this was displeasing to God. And we read in Psalm 51 the prayer of confession of the King David after he was visited by the prophet Nathan. Today's sermon, brothers and sisters, we've been tasked to share with you about True repentance. Repentance is one of the topics that has become unpopular today in Christian circles for several reasons. But it's not uncommon to hear Christians believe that the time of reminding people of their sin is over. People already know that they are sinful. They know already that what they do is wrong. So there's no need to continue to beat them up again and again in the church. The time of preaching negativity is over. People need to be encouraged. People need to be lifted up. People need to come out of the church happy, not sad. This is what we hear sometimes. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind us that the message of the gospel, which means good news, it's sometimes difficult to understand when you don't know the bad news. When you are brought a good news and you don't know what is the bad news, it's difficult to appreciate the good news. Jesus, when he began his ministry, the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? To repentance." At the end of his ministry, Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, he says, "The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning to Jerusalem." From the beginning of the ministry of Jesus to the end of his ministry on earth, the message never changed. It was the message of repentance. Why? Because repentance, which means making a U-turn, is the only way we can receive the good news. It's the only way we can receive the good news of salvation, of forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. And we have a challenge today, brothers and sisters, in the church, because many have joined the fellowship of believers without turning from themselves. The psalmist will say in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But today we hear even Christians saying, "I am the master of my life. I'm in charge, so I will succeed." That's what we hear sometimes. And if you are here, you believe that you are in charge of your life, I just want to invite you to stop your heartbeat for 2 seconds. If you think you are in charge of your life, can you control your heartbeat? Someone decides for you. And we sang it, the master of the universe. He's the ultimate master. But the good news is about you accepting this master of the universe to become the master of your life. Hallelujah. Repentance is necessary, brothers and sisters. Turning from yourself, and turning to God. Not turning to something else, but to God. That's what repentance is about. And if we, you and I, we do that, if we have done it once in our lives, then as we walk with the Lord, we will be very sensitive to anything that is displeasing to God. Just like the King David was. He was able to listen to the prophet to remember his sin and to turn away from his sin. Why? Because at one point in his life, he had decided that this God will be my shepherd. Who is leading your life? Who is making decisions in your life? Who is the ultimate master in your life? Pastors are struggling today in the church with servants who will accept everything except rebuke. We don't want to be rebuked. We want things our own way. Why? Because we are in control. When the truth comes to us, we assess it based on ourselves. We have become the standards of morals to decide whether we take it or reject it. Repentance means leaving the throne of your heart, receiving God as your law giver, not just your savior, but also your law giver. And this true repentance comes from the Lord himself. When we read the text in 2 Samuel that we've just read, we can see David sinned against the Lord. He knew it, that he had sinned. He knew it. When you commit adultery, it's not something that you are surprised, oh, I didn't know. No, when you commit adultery, you know that this is sin. It's a process. But David did not decide just by himself to go back to the Lord. The Lord initiated his repentance. He sent his messenger, his servant, his prophet, with a word of truth. This is what the Lord does even today, and this is what he's doing at this very moment. Bringing the truth to you. And you know where that truth applies to your life. You know. God sends Nathan to David to rebuke David. He sends him as an act of compassion, because he knows that if I don't go back to this young man, to this king, he will be lost. God knows that you can't help yourself. That's why he sends his messengers here from this pulpit, Sunday after Sunday. And today we are blessed. We have the gospel everywhere. If you don't come to church, you have it in your phone. If you don't have it in your phone, you can hear it on TV, on the radio. Everywhere we have the gospel. The Lord is reminded, flooding us with the message of repentance. How are we responding to this message? True repentance comes from the Lord. It is an initiative from God himself, not ours. Secondly, true repentance entails acknowledging that we are sinners, acknowledging that we have sinned. David did not use another word for sin. He used the word sin. He said, I have sinned. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned. When is the last time you said, Lord, I have sinned against you? Today we try to find other words. I'm weak. Everybody's doing it. I'm not the only one. No. True repentance does not seek justification in the crowd. A repenting heart does not ask, am I the only one doing this? No. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to follow the majority, I just want to remind us that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. In the kingdom of God, wisdom does not come from the people. Wisdom comes from the King of Kings. And the king will not conform to his people. The king says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. I am your lawgiver. I am the source of the good and the bad. I am the standards. So if you want to know first if everybody is doing it or not, before you decide, you will experience democracy. But we are not talking about democracy. We are talking about the kingdom of God. In his kingdom, we all, everything belongs to him. Everything. True repentance, finally, true repentance means restitution. Yes, true repentance means restitution. Brothers and sisters, when I'm sure you have time at home to read Luke chapter 9, I want to invite you to read it at home. The story of Zacchaeus. He encountered Jesus, and after encountering Jesus, the Holy One, he saw himself sinful and he burst into repentance. He didn't just say, Lord, I have sinned against you, forgive me. No. He went ahead and said, if I have taken anything from anybody, I will repay 4 times. Repentance will lead you to restitution. Sometimes I know it is not possible, because sometimes the wickedness that we commit cannot be fixed, but a repenting heart will be willing. And where there is a will, there is always a way. A repenting heart will not just say, I've sinned. It will give back. It will be involved in restoration. It will be involved in healing. Hallelujah. Since you gave your life to Jesus Christ, how, by the way, did you give your life to Jesus Christ? Repentance is the beginning of the Christian relationship. It's the beginning of our relationship with God. That's where everything starts. Have you repented? This is the question I'm asking you. And if you have repented, what shows that you have truly repented? May I invite you to stand up in prayer? When I remember the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. I pray that nobody will leave this place the same. I pray that nobody will leave this place and return to the things that you take them from. We will all leave from this place as new men, new women. I pray that your love will flood our hearts so much that we realize the benefits of trusting you, of following you, of living the life that you have for us, rather than the life that we want for ourselves. Give us the strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you.